So this morning's message in Proverbs is about money. I know that's an interesting topic, especially when we're experiencing inflation, right? I think about inflation, and I think about a couple stories I read. One said that inflation is when you realize that your grandkids' starting wage at the fast food restaurant is the amount you hoped for at the culmination of your career. Or one other guy talking about inflation said he went to the restaurant and he ordered a $25 steak and said, "Put it on my credit card." Oh. And it fit.
What? Wait a minute. Oh, God. It fit? Oh, my goodness.
We're going to talk about money this morning, and we're going to strike for a biblical balance. On the one hand, I want to make sure we're not money worshipers, because Jesus came right out and said, you cannot serve both God and money. He did not say you should not. He said you cannot. It's impossible. You choose your master. So we don't want to be money worshipers. But on the other hand, we don't want to be money wasters. Okay, because biblically we are stewards. All that we have belongs to God, and we're accountable to use it well for His glory. So not a money worshiper, but not a money waster. And I believe Proverbs offers a lot of wisdom to help us with a biblical balance. And we're going to use another acronym. We're going to use the acronym DOLLARS this morning to help us gain some wisdom from Proverbs regarding money. The first thing I want to bring out from the D is to depend on God. We're dealing here with, where do I put my ultimate hope, my ultimate trust, okay? Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." In military battles at that time, if you could get into a strong tower, that's about as good as you could do to protect yourself from many of the weapons of that day. The name of the Lord, that's his character. Who he is. Who is he? He's Creator God. He's Jehovah Jireh, what Abraham called him. The Lord will provide. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. That running, just think of a child. Parents, you're out side hiking, it starts to storm, and your child's up the trail a little bit, and that first thunderbolt, and that child comes running. What? It's ultimate childlike faith. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. But what's the contrast here? It says a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. It's in his imagination. And what are we getting at here? Money is useful. We'll see that in other passages in Proverbs. But don't you dare put your ultimate trust in it. If you do, that's an illusion. It cannot provide the ultimate security that only God can. I think about that, and I think about powerful Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, right? With its high walls, which fell before a bunch of shouting Jewish nomads from the desert. Why? Because those nomads trusted God. And aside from one family in Jericho, they did not inside of the city. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. One example of trust is how we use our resources. This was an agricultural society. Proverbs 3, verse 9, he said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Honor him with the first fruits of all your produce. What's he saying to the people of Israel there? He's saying, not the leftovers. Don't bring me the leftovers after you make sure you've had a good harvest. Don't wait till then. Okay? Give me the first part. Before you even see what kind of harvest you're going to have. Why? To show that they trusted him. To show that they trusted him. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And I think it's a good question to ask ourselves even today. Do I give to the Lord off the top or the leftovers? Do I really believe that he will take care of me? Do I believe that with all my heart, that he is Jehovah Jireh? Now, I want to be careful here because there are those in this world that say you give and you're never going to get sick and you're going to get that Lamborghini and that private jet. I am not saying that. But I am saying he'll care for your needs. That's not just Old Testament, that's New Testament. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, they had sent him money to help him in a time of need. And you know what he wrote back to them in Philippians 4:18? He says, I've received full payment. I got what you sent and more. I'm well supplied. Down to verse 19, what's he say to them after they gave generously for his need? He said, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How we use our money is part of how we show whether we trust him or not. Let's go on to the prayer that was read earlier. This is an interesting prayer in Proverbs 30. Starting in verse 7, two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. That's the first prayer. Then we get into the one we're going to focus on. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, I dare say some of us have prayed, Lord, don't let me be poor. But how many of us honestly have ever prayed, Lord, don't let me get rich? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Some translations say, give me only what I need. Give me only my portion. Why? Lest I be full and deny you. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. This was a real possibility for them and for us to in our abundance, forget where it came from. God told Israel that when they came into the promised land. They've been wandering 40 years and they saw God provide for them in the desert. But he said, when you get in that promised land where you got it all going for you, there's going to be a temptation to forget me. Listen, Deuteronomy 6 verse 10 says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. You see him saying over and over, I gave this to you. Right? And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's easy to forget where the blessings come from. So I think about this, and I think about, wow, what if God's no's sometimes are actually an answer to prayer? Right? Because he knows what will take our eyes off of him and the hole that would leave in our hearts as we forgot him. I think about that hole. It's a hole nothing in this world can fill. Only God, only Jesus can fill that hole. And I think about what Augustine said centuries ago. He said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Depend on God. Think of the words of our Savior. One test, am I depending on Him? Is am I worried right now? Am I worried? What did Jesus say? Matthew 6, 31. Do not be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you dependent on God? Second, I want to talk to you about remembering the order of importance. The order of importance, prioritizing properly. A lot of times we think the Christian life is only when we come to choices, good versus evil. This choice is good, this choice is evil. But sometimes, often I'd say the choice is between the good and the better. Or the better and the best. Right? And we want to remember the order of importance. We're going to see this in Proverbs. First, it's important to prioritize the eternal over the temporal. Okay, we saw this verse last week in regards to work, but we're going to revisit it this morning. 23:4. Don't toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. Don't go crazy. Do not be a workaholic pursuing wealth. Don't overdo it. Why? Because when your eyes light on wealth, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. One guy put it this way. He said, money does talk, and you know it often says goodbye. So prioritize the eternal over the temporal. Second, prioritize the internal over the external. And I'll show you specifically what I'm talking about here. 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, when God's judgment comes, but righteousness delivers from death. Why? Well, Proverbs had already told us that when trouble comes to the righteous get back up. Proverbs 24:16, the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Riches don't profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And as a New Testament Christian, I think about where do we get ultimate righteousness? From a New Testament perspective, is it in our works? No, I think about Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. How? By faith. Amen. That faith in Jesus will deliver you in the ultimate day of God's judgment. Do you have it? Do you have it? Riches aren't going to help you that day. Jesus will. 19:1. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. What's this saying? Do not lose your character for wealth. Don't do it. It's worth far more than any money. I think of the title of a song out there right now. I will not sell my soul for a check. Don't sell your soul for a check. Your integrity matters far more. Those are internal over external. I want to show you a couple relational over financial. First, relationship with others. Look at this, 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Now, I'm a meat lover. I love brisket, ribs, steak. So this verse jumps off the page at me saying, better is a dinner of vegetables. Why? Where love is, than a fattened ox and hatred with it. And I think about the old adage here that money can buy a house, but it cannot make a home. Okay, and those relationships with your family, with your friends, those are more valuable than those finances. Even when it comes to pets, I heard one guy say, money will buy a fine dog, but only love will make him wag his tail. Prioritize love. Prioritize love for others. And relational over financial, the second one, that relationship with God. Above everything, 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. And if you're in that spot right now where you're feeling the little, I want to encourage you, our Lord knew what it was like to grow up in little. You know how we know that? When he was born and they had to offer the sacrifice, they offered the bird that was the sacrifice for the poor people. He didn't have a place to lay his head during his ministry. He could connect with that. But you know what he had? He had that intimate relationship with his Father that meant everything to him. And I think when we get the order of importance right, you know what happens? It helps us to be content. How many of us are content with God's financial provision in our lives? How many of you are at peace with it this morning? You know what Paul said? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you have it? Do you have it? Philippians 4, verse 11, he said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul may have been poor financially, but you know where he was rich? He was rich in relationship with Jesus Christ, who had turned his life around, and rich in relationship with the church that he loved so much. And he was content. Guard yourself against being discontent. I think about something Lee Iacocca. He was a president at Ford, and then he was fired, and he went on to turn Chrysler around. And he shared something his Italian-born father told him early on. He said, Lee, be careful about money. When you have 5,000, you'll want 10,000. When you have 10,000, you'll want 20,000. No matter what you have, it's never enough. Are you content? This order of importance will help you in that regard. Next one, I want to talk about pursuing finances through legitimate means. Legit means. Not cutting corners, not doing things that would compromise your integrity or be sinful. 15:27 says, whoever is greedy for unjust gain, getting it in dark and shady ways, compromising, lying, stealing, troubles his own household. But he who hates bribes will live. 21:6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. And I think about these verses. You know who I think about? I think about Achan. Achan in the book of Joshua. We talked about Jericho. And the day that happened, God had told his people, you don't take anything out of there. But Achan went in there. And he saw silver and a cloak and a bar of gold. And oh, how it must have glistened in his eyes. Oh, and maybe even had good thoughts. Hey, this will help take care of my family. I'd be a fool to pass this up. What happened? After they defeat Jericho, they go up to defeat the tiny city of Ai, and they're defeated. And Joshua's crying, and the Lord says, stop crying. There's sin in your midst. Someone took what was not to be taken. And how tragic is it? Joshua 7:24 says, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and daughters and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. He may have had his family in mind when he disobeyed the Lord, but in the end, he brought trouble upon himself and his family because he pursued it in a way that was not the Lord's. Let's look at the flip side, 28:20. A faithful man, someone who meeting his obligations to God and those around him, will abound with blessings. But whoever hastens to be rich, that corner cutter, that compromiser, will not go unpunished. And then 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God's blessing, God's way. Right? You cannot put a price on a clear conscience when you go to sleep at night. You can't put a price on a clear conscience. Legit means. Next one, Proverbs teaches us to lay some aside. Lay some aside. We looked at the ants last week talking about their self-discipline. We're going to look at them again today with a different focus. Chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Faith, listen, does not equal foolishness. Okay, there is wisdom in setting aside some as you're able for the future. That's what the ants were doing. He says, look at them and learn. 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. How many times do you see that? Someone wins the lotto and then it, boom, it's gone. But what? Whoever gathers little by little, faithfully, hand by hand, you can translate that, will increase it. 21:20, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. What's he saying? The foolish man just lets it go right through his fingers all the time. He's never thinking about the future. Always now. Now, I had somebody a little while ago, this is a good question for a Christian. They texted me and they said, "Hey, do you think a Christian can trust God and like store up food and other things in case of a day of trouble? Because it is a crazy world." They asked, what do you think about that? You know, if the electrical grid goes down or there's an EMP, can I stock up some stuff for that and still trust God? You know, one of the people I took them to was Joseph in the book of Genesis. Did Joseph love God and trust God? Absolutely. And what did God tell Joseph to do after 7 years of famine was coming? Before it got there, he said, "Joseph, you store up for 7 years," right? And by doing that, he saved not only the people of Israel from starvation, but many other people. He was like the human ant, right? So I told this person, yes, you can trust God and prepare. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Faith does not equal foolishness. It's wise to prepare for the future. Lay some aside. Next one, account. Account. Some of you love that word. Some of you hate it. Account for what you have, but it's right here in Proverbs 27:23. Just know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Why? For riches don't last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing. And the goats, the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls. Know well the condition of your flocks. Today, Most of us don't have flocks. How do we apply this? Know well what your budget is looking like. Know what's coming in and what's going out. Now, depending on your personality and your financial position right now, that's either fun or very painful. Some of us hate to pull that out and look at it, but he says, know well. Why? Because what we said earlier, we are stewards of his resources, and we ought to use them to the best of our ability for his glory. If you ever want guidance on this, Bill once a year offers Financial You by Dave Ramsey. Great practical biblical tools on how to do just this, to know well the condition of your flocks. You offering it again in 25, Lord willing? How about on the spot, right? Usually does it early in the year. But account for what you have. This again reminds us, faith does not equal foolishness. Okay? Next one, red flags. Watch out for red flags financially. I'll give you two. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. This time, if you took out a loan and you couldn't pay it, you could literally offer yourself as a slave to the other person to pay it off. Even today, when we take out a loan, the principal remains. I think about a guy and his wife who were at home and somebody knocked at the door. And the wife went to get it. And she comes to the husband and says, there's someone here that says you owe him money. And the husband says, what's he look like? And she said, he looks like you better pay him. Now let's get real for 2025. There's not many of us in here who could buy a house without a mortgage, right? Okay, I've got a mortgage. Okay, probably many of you do as well. But even when we do sign those loans that come our way, what I take away from this is it's good to think about how much and how long. Because listen, every month we write a check to someone else, that's a check that could be going to my family or to kingdom work, right? So pray about it before you enter into them. Here's another one, 22:26. Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts, if you have nothing with which to pay. Why should your bed be taken from under you? And what's this talking about? This is telling us to be very careful who you co-sign for, right? Because if they go down, you could lose your shirt. Be wise about who you sign on with. Help people, yes. But help them in a wise way so that if and when they sink, you don't go down with them. Be wise, right? And I think to extend the application of this, it would encourage us to be wise about any time you sign on with someone for any business dealing, investment, etc. Seek the Lord before you put your name on the dotted line. I think about something that happened in a church in Ohio that was tragic. There was a man that came to the church with a can't-miss investment. Can't miss. He told the pastors about it, and they, in good faith, believed what he was sharing. And they started to share with elderly people in the church, hey, this will help boost your retirement. My grandparents were one of those couples that got the recommendation from a pastor. In good faith, I'm sure. Many people invested. The man who had brought the investment opportunity to the church ended up in jail. And because these pastors, even though it was in good faith, had recommended this to many people in the church, that church was in the news day after day after day. It will always remind me, be very careful. Be very careful who you sign the dotted line. with. Watch out for those red flags. And last but not least, share. Let's be those who share what we have from the Lord. 28:27 says, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. I'm so blessed by how many of you jumped in with these shoe boxes and how many of you contributed to the families in Humboldt Unified School District for Christmas. 11:24, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. But my favorite one, 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Have you ever thought of it that way? Lending to the Lord? I thought about this, and I thought about Henry Ford. He visited some people in Dublin, Ireland that wanted to build an orphanage. And he committed £2,000, which was a lot of money over there, to the project. One problem, when the newspaper in Dublin put the word out, they said he had committed £20,000. Oh, he had some conversation with the people that put that headline. He said, you know what? I'll send the other £18,000 as long as you put something on that building, as long as you carve it in when it's built. They said, okay, what do you want us to put on there? He said, the words of Jesus when he said, I was a stranger and you took me in. He knew what he was doing for those orphans. He was doing for the Lord. I think about this kind of generosity, and I think about what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Send it on up. And I think about that. I think about a story about a wealthy Christian lady who died and went to heaven, and angels showing her around where she's going to live, and they walk past all these five-story golden mansions, and she's sure one of those is going to be hers, but they keep walking, and they get down to a part of town where she got a little one-bedroom shack, and she says, what's this? She said, and the angel answered her, he said, we did the best we could with what you sent up. Now listen, your salvation is in no way dependent on what you do with your finances or otherwise, but there are rewards. There are rewards to be had or lost based on our faithful stewardship of what God has given us. That's important to us as a church. I want you to know that in addition to staff and rental and other ministry expenses, every month at this church, $1,100 goes out to 5 different missions, some of them who are directly involved with the poor. So if you're listening online and you don't go here, this is not for you. I'm not trying to brag. I'm telling those of you who give, when you give here, a significant portion of it goes to these missions. With that in mind, I think of the story of a guy who came to a pastor. He said, Pastor, I need your help. I just spend way more money than I should here and there. I spend like a drunken sailor. Would you pray for me? And the pastor says, yes, I will pray for you. Right after the offering. I love that story. But seriously, I just want you to know, when you give here, that's a priority for us. And I hope it's a priority for us as individuals too, as God lays it on our hearts to reach out to those in need. May we trust that we're lending to the Lord and He will provide. for our needs. Now let's review real quick, and then we'll close with three final reminders. Depend on God, order of importance. Pursue it by legit means. Lay some aside. Account for what He's given you. Watch out for red flags and share. Three final reminders or challenges. First one, don't let worldly wealth make you unfruitful in your life. Jesus warned of this in the parable of Matthew 13, 22. He said, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Don't let wealth make you unfruitful. Second, do not let worldly wealth keep you from seeing your need to embrace Jesus as your Savior. That would be the ultimate tragedy. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Third, let the generosity of Jesus Christ inspire our own. Just ponder His generosity for a moment. In 2 Corinthians, they were gathering up money for the poor. And Paul wrote them this, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. He said, as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Excel in this act of giving. And he said, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich. One final reminder to help us keep things in perspective. It's an anonymous poem that's always spoken to me. It says, money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. A house, but not a home. Amusement, but not joy. A crucifix, but not a Savior. Father, thank you for the wisdom you provide in your word. Lord, I know some other words of Jesus, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. I pray that you'd help us be a people that depend on you, that trust you, that worship you, and that use the money you put at our disposal as stewards for your glory, the good of our families, and the good of those around us. I pray that your Spirit would lead us as we make daily decisions in this regard for your glory. And I pray that not one person in this room would leave here without having that hole inside. That unsatisfaction, without leaving here, without saying, Jesus, I look to you. I'm done looking to the things of this world. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. I look to you, Jesus, as my Savior. And Lord, I trust in your death and resurrection for my salvation and to make me a child of God. Lord, lead us out of here as those who use what you've given us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.